Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, Holy Father, Divine Son, Loving Spirit, we invoke thy blessings upon us as we gather here to worship thee, that we may enjoy full fellowship with thee and with one another. We confess our sins before thee and in the presence of one another. We ask for forgiveness and reconciliation. We seek to do thy will in our lives, to know thy presence redemptively. Grant unto us the ability to know thee, to know ourselves, and to express this knowledge in all of our relationships in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man alone is not man at all. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." The togetherness of man and woman in marriage is the most dramatic expression of man's need for intimate fellowship with other human beings. Man's need for his fellow man is not less because of the self-sufficiency of our affluent and individualistic society. Quickly, modern man is bored with the things of this world, and desperately he pursues genuine fellowship. The community which man craves has been described by many words, but the most universal one is the word friend. We are friends. This affirmation by serious people signifies a sharing of personalities which brings fulfillment and joy into human existence. Although the word friend is used carelessly today to indicate the most casual acquaintance, this was not so at its inception. The English word friend is derived from the present participle of an Anglo-Saxon verb which means to love. A true friend is one who loves you, and a Christian friend is one who loves you with the love which he has known in Jesus Christ. Christian friendship is not a humanistic enterprise, because it is grounded in man's relationship to God himself. Apart from our relationship to God, it is highly improbable that most of us here this morning would ever have come to know each other at all. Our relationship to one another, however, implies something more than our mutual relationship to God. It implies that the possibility of genuine Christian friendship is grounded in God himself. Trinitarian language has been used to express this orientation. God the Father loves the Son through the Holy Spirit. In other words, the possibility of human friendship is based on the reality of divine fellowship, the actualization of love within God himself. Wherever there is a breakdown in friendship among Christians, there lurks a deeper problem, the breakdown of our fellowship with God. The person who has difficulty continuously in getting along with other people has a more basic problem of getting along with God. Christian friendship, then, is a divine human possibility and a divine human achievement. Friendship as a divine human possibility is realized through faith in God. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Genuine friendships are not simply accidents of history. As a writer of Proverbs said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. God has taken the initiative in establishing genuine friendship through Jesus Christ. He makes an effort to be our friend. Some Christians complain about not having friends while at the same time they have made little or no effort to be a friend. Do you put forth a sincere effort to be a friend? Not simply to have friends, for this implies a subject-object relationship which is designed to further one's own desires. To discover as a child that one has been befriended in order to be used is a bitter experience. Today, as adults, we are not surprised by this experience, since the motivation for friendship is frequently akin to Dale Carnegie's approach in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, rather than that of our Lord, who said, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus worked at being a friend, yet he was not untrue to himself, and never did he compromise his relationship to God in order to gain friends. When, however, his most intimate disciples deserted him, he did not reject them. He was their friend, even though they misunderstood him. He pled, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christian friendship exhibits several characteristics, and the first of these is faith in another person. Each of us exercises a certain type of faith in other people, but Christian friendship is rooted in a faith which allows another person to know the inner self and which trusts another to deal with this revealed knowledge with integrity, discretion, and kindness. There is danger in the most common faith relationships, but the more personal the relationship, the more dangerous the consequences may be. There is no pain more excruciating than the hurt inflicted by a true friend. Yet, this is the risk we must take if we are to be creative Christians who love others as God has loved us. God took this risk in willing freedom for man, and he bore the hurt of man's rejection of his love offered in Jesus Christ. If we would have Christian friends, we must dare to believe in the integrity of men in Christ. A second characteristic of Christian friendship is loyalty. The circumstances of life with which each person must constantly come to terms place a great stress and strain on those who seek to be loyal friends. No scene is more pathetic than that of two lifelong friends who have come to the parting of the ways after years of mutual sharing in the vicissitudes of life. It is difficult for us to be loyal to God or man, and often the difficulty increases with the length of friendship because we presume on our former relationships with God and man. This risk decreases in proportion to the extent which mutual friends are rooted in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Instead of the circumstances of life placing friendship under stress, they may become the occasions for renewal and strengthening. It has been said that your best friends won't tell you. And this is often true. And we know the difficulty of bearing criticism from a friend whose own faults are well known to us. But this should not be the case. Our best friends, including our wives and colleagues, should be able to tell us, and we should seriously consider their counsel. As we recall the painful occasions of straight talk from a friend, we should realize the truth of the proverb, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." A third characteristic of Christian friendship is a mutual acceptance of individuality. Only God has the right to make man in his own image, and he recognizes and rejoices in the diversity of gifts among his children. Friends are not given to us for reform. And if our goal in friendship is to remake others in our image, we shall either find ourselves frustratingly unsuccessful or terribly troubled by our success. Wherever mutual acceptance is a reality, friends experience profound fellowship with one another, and this fellowship is deepened by a sharing of knowledge. Jesus shared in the knowledge of God's will for his life, and he shared his knowledge of God the Father with his disciples. Christian friends know the task to which they are committed, and they rejoice in their labors together for God. If faith is a condition of friendship, loyalty its bond of strength, and mutual acceptance its modus operandi, then forgiveness is the activity which guarantees the continuation of such a relationship of mutual love between sinful men. Of all the causes of broken friendship, none is more responsible and devastating than the tongue. The tongue which betrays confidence in such divisive and devious ways. The tongue which judges motives. The wisdom of Proverbs needs to be written with indelible ink on the tablets of our minds. He that repeateth a matter separateth friends. Broken fellowship, whatever the cause, can be mended through the forgiveness revealed in Jesus Christ. Of all people who need earthly friends, Christian ministers and teachers perhaps have the greatest need, because they are dealing daily with the spirits of men. Is it then out of date? Are we too pious and professional for men who have trusted friends to renew their friendships in confession, forgiveness, and prayer? I think not. Because some are superficial and glory in their piety, do we have to abandon the only true means of maintaining Christian friendship? God forbid. Only through the daily practice of forgiveness can we avoid becoming spiritual hermits. Let our friendships be tested, and tested they will be, but let us forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us, even 70 times 7. The worth of a true friend does not have to be argued in court by one who has a friend. Francis Bacon rightly said, "Friendship redoubleth joys and cutteth griefs in half." Christian friendship is a precious gift. It cannot be bought at any price. It can only be revealed in love. Love so great that a man will actually lay down his life for another. When it is revealed, we know that there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Polonius, in his advice to Laertes as his young son was departing for the city of Paris, said, "Those friends thou hast and their adoption tried, grapple them to thy soul with hoops of steel." You and I have friends whose adoption has been tried. Let us grapple them to our souls by believing in their integrity, forgiving their trespasses, and sharing our lives with them. May we say to our friends daily what God has said to us. No longer do I call you slaves or servants, but I have called you friends. May we pray. Father, we thank Thee that from all eternity a foundation has been established for fellowship with Thee, and that this foundation has been revealed to us in the quality of the life of Jesus, in the freeness and the tragedy of His death, and in the power of His resurrection. We thank Thee that friendship has been exhibited in terms of divine human fellowship in the koinonia of the early church. We pray that this fellowship may be ours in this community, that we may be bound together by that love which is from all eternity, that we may share it with one another in these moments of time, that as we live out our days, people may come to know the ground of their being, the reality of the love of God in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.